Hosea chapter 10, verse 1. An empty vine is Israel, fruit he maketh like to himself, according to the abundance of his fruit. He hath multiplied for the altars, according to the goodness of his land. They have made goodly standing pillars. In this chapter, Hosea is talking about his people and their sin. He says that Israel has made itself like an empty vine that won't produce spiritual fruit. Because Israel won't obey the commands of the Lord, they're not teaching their children the commands. Their lives are spiritually unproductive. And the fruit that the Lord has given them in abundance, they are offering to false gods that never did anything for them. We should only give credit to our Creator, but the Israelites were giving credit to non-gods. The standing pillars are the pagan monuments that they would build in honor of false gods. And we have monuments around the world today, like the Washington Monument. That's an example of a standing pillar. It wasn't made to honor the Lord. 2. Their heart hath been divided. Now they are guilty. He doth break down their altars. He doth destroy their standing pillars. The Lord is causing the Assyrians to attack Israel and break down all of these false idols and pillars that they had set up. And it says that their hearts are divided because they have one foot in the Israelite religion and the other foot in pagan religions. There are Christians who live like that today. They have one foot in Christianity and another foot in worldliness and New Age beliefs. New Age has even crept into a lot of churches because Christians refuse to read the Bible and simply obey what the Bible says. So there's a lot of New Age spiritism in the churches today. And the Israelites were doing similar. They wanted to obey all of the ordinances of God, but they didn't want to obey his laws. They wanted to be saved by ordinances. So not only did they practice the ordinances of God, but they also practiced all of the ordinances and rituals of the pagan religions as well. Practicing works salvation is when you obey rituals and ordinances in order to be saved. And again, that's what a lot of Christians do today. They want to show up at church, pay their offering, volunteer for this and that event, but they never actually read the Bible and obey God's laws. They also are practicing works salvation. They think that by being involved in church, they're going to be saved. But God never commanded us to be involved in church. He commanded us to obey his laws. It's funny that a lot of people claim that if you want to obey God, then you're practicing works salvation. But that is the opposite of the truth. Jesus said, repent. And repentance is obeying God's laws. It's repenting from our sinful ways. He didn't say, follow the ordinances and believe. He said, repent and believe. But the people who call the repenters, those who practice work salvation, they're actually the ones practicing work salvation because they want to follow ordinances and believe. 3. For now they say, we have no king, but we have not feared Jehovah. And the king, what doth he do for us? It didn't matter if the kingdom of Israel had a king or not, because they would never obey God. It doesn't matter if we have a good president or an evil president. If we ourselves will not obey God, then no good president can protect us. Our nation will still get destroyed if we don't repent of our sins. We need to get right with God, and then he'll bless and protect our nation. But it's because Christians won't repent that we have so much trouble in our land. How we vote is only a symptom of our problems. It's not the solution. Hosea says, it doesn't matter if the Israelites don't assassinate their king or if they set up the right king. God will never help them until they repent of their sins. 4. They have spoken words to swear falsehood in making a covenant. and flourished as a poisonous herb, hath judgment on the furrows of a field. Judgment in the Bible usually refers to taking care of the poor, the weak, the helpless, and the needy. When you make righteous judgment, it's when you're protecting the weakest members of your society. And the Israelites were not doing that because paganism causes you to focus on you and all of your sensual desires and all of your physical needs. So you don't think about others. In pagan religions, the last thing they do is take care of the weak and the helpless. The Lord says what should be a good judgment is just poison in the land. They're actually trampling over the widows and the poor and the handicapped and the sick instead of taking care of them. And they're lying to each other. They are actually shaking hands and lying to people's faces in their business transactions. 5. For the calves of Beth-Aven fear do inhabitants of Samaria, surely mourned, on account of it hath its people, and its priests on account of it leap about because of its honor, for it hath removed from it. Fear of God is when you are afraid to offend the Lord, and that's how we should be living. But the Israelites weren't fearing God. They weren't afraid of offending him. They were afraid of offending the golden calf of Samaria, which was a pagan idol. The priests, who should have been teaching the people to obey the Lord, were shrieking and dancing around before this golden calf that they were worshiping. 6. Also, it to Ashur is carried, a present to a warlike king. Shame doth Ephraim receive, and ashamed is Israel of its own counsel. Hosea says that his tribe of Ephraim will be ashamed, and the Israelites as a whole will be ashamed of the evil counsel that they have followed. He says that the Assyrians are going to take that golden calf and they're going to capture it and take it back to Assyria. All the gold that the Israelites put into that idol is going to be stolen from them. 7. Cut off is Samaria, its king, as a chip on the face of the waters. Samaria was the capital of the kingdom of Israel, and it was a completely pagan capital. During the entire kingship of Israel, paganism was always practiced in the city of Samaria. The Lord says that he is going to cut that city off and destroy it. 8. And destroyed have been high places of Avon, the sin of Israel. Thorn and bramble go up on their altars, and they have said to hills, cover us, and to heights, fall upon us. The people are going to be very terrified when the Assyrians show up and attack them. In the high place of Avon, which could be a man-made mound, the Israelites would worship the pagan gods on man-made hills. But the Lord says that that hill is going to get covered by thorns and brambles. The brambles will grow over their altars, which means that they are going to get kidnapped and taken into Assyria. Their land is going to get covered with weeds, and that includes their altars that are going to get covered. They'll also wish that they could hide in the hills and that the ground would cover them. They're going to be so terrified of the Assyrians that they'll wish that they were already dead. 9. From the days of Gibeah thou hast sinned, O Israel. There they have stood, not overtake them, and Gibeah doth battle, because of sons of perverseness. Hosea is telling his people, you guys have been sinning since all the way back when Israel had judges. They actually started practicing paganism before King David even became king. There was a little bit of paganism throughout the years since the time that Joshua passed away. During King David and King Solomon's reign, the paganism was almost entirely wiped out because the people were being taught to obey the laws of God. But then paganism revived again after King Solomon's time. 10. When I desire, then I do bind them, and gathered against them have peoples, when they bind themselves to their iniquities. The Lord is prophesying through Hosea that just as the people have attached themselves to sin, the Lord is going to attach them to fetters, and they're going to become slaves for their enemies, the Assyrians. 11. And Ephraim is a trained heifer, loving to thresh, and I have passed over on the goodness of its neck. I cause one to ride Ephraim. Plow doth Judah, harrow for him doth Jacob. Cows can be used to grind grain because you can attach the cow to a mechanical instrument, and then as it walks, it will cause that instrument to process the crops. And the Lord says the tribe of Ephraim is like a cow that's tied up to the equipment, but it won't do what it's supposed to do. That whole tribe doesn't even have the good sense that a good cow would have. He's going to ride on that cow and force it to do what he says, because it won't do what he says willingly. And he's going to force the tribe of Judah and all of Jacob, which is all of Israel, to do what he says. He's going to teach all of them to obey him through adversity. And this adversity is going to be when the pagans attack their land. They're going to learn the value of obeying the Lord and the error of sin. 12. Sow for yourselves in righteousness, reap according to loving kindness, till for yourselves tillage of knowledge, to seek Jehovah, till he come and show righteousness to you. This is a prophetic verse. Not only did it apply in Hosea's time to the Israelites, but it also applies to us today. It's a metaphor talking about farming, sowing seeds, and tilling the land. And it says, you need to sow seeds of righteousness in your own lives. Practice righteousness, which means practicing the commandments of God. And then you will reap loving kindness. So you will be able to harvest in loving kindness. When we practice the commandments of God, we learn to love people, because his commandments are love. The essence of his commandments is doing good toward your neighbor. So as we practice his commandments, our hearts get filled with love. And it says, till for yourselves the tillage of knowledge. We need to till our own minds so that we are learning God's laws. And that means to listen to the Lord and read his commandments. And then it says, seek the Lord until he comes and shows righteousness to you. When we seek to know God and to know his ways, he will draw near to us and he will reveal himself to us. Also, one day Jesus is returning. So if we constantly seek the Lord, he is going to show himself physically to us one day, because he will return and we will see him in the sky. 13. Ye have plowed wickedness, perversity ye have reaped. Ye have eaten the fruit of lying, for thou hast trusted in thy way, in the abundance of thy might. Now the metaphor is reversed. He says, what the Israelites have already been doing is they've been plowing wickedness in the field of their souls, and they have reaped perversity. When you practice wickedness, for instance, you're telling lies and you're cheating and stealing, taking advantage of people, causing people harm, and showing hatred, then you will become perverted in your mind and in your soul. And that's why a lot of people walk around and they can't stop cussing. It's because of the perversion of their minds and their souls. They're not capable of thinking clearly and acting nobly. They walk around cussing, telling lies, making fun of people, backstabbing, and plotting to take advantage of people. It says, you've eaten the fruit of your own lies. When we lie to others, then we are easily gullible ourselves, and we believe the lies of Satan and the lies of demons so easily, and we don't recognize when demons are lying to us, and we don't rebuke what they're saying. Then we believe what the demons say because we think that it's coming from us and that it's our own opinion. So we're easily duped. And it says, this is because you trusted in your own way. You thought that you could make your life better. A lot of people trust in their own way. They follow sensual pleasures, entertainment, money. They chase after sexual relationships or emotional relationships that are no good for them. And because of that, they're living this perverse life. 14. And rise doth a tumult among thy people, and all thy fortresses are spoiled, as the spoiling of Shalmon of Beth Arbel in a day of battle, mother against sons dashed in pieces. Hosea says, my people are getting attacked by the Assyrians. The Assyrians are killing both mother and child. They're dashing both the mother and the baby against the rocks. The Israelites wanted to worship the false gods of the Assyrians and the Egyptians. They worshiped the false gods to have prosperity, and they tried to make deals with pagan nations. And now these pagan nations have destroyed them. When you look to the world for help and survival, it will turn on you. 15. Thus hath Bethel done to you, because of the evil of your wickedness. In the dawn, cut off utterly, is a king of Israel. Bethel is a place that originally was a holy place. That's where Jacob went to sleep, and he had a vision of the Lord, and he also had a vision of a stairway that led to heaven. But then the Israelites turned it into a city of paganism. Here Hosea is saying, because you turned Bethel into a place of paganism, evil is going to come on you, and you will lose your king. The king that they were going to lose was an earthly king. They were going to lose their earthly security because they trusted in the things of the world for security. But when we trust in the Lord, then he will protect us many times in our lives, but he will also give us spiritual security, which is salvation. And that concludes Hosea chapter 10.